Welcome back to Squawk 1200. So it's always fun to have the National Association of Air Traffic Controllers with us. And so I'm going to go around the room and ask you guys to kind of introduce yourselves and talk about what you do.
Okay. My name is Jim Ullman. I am currently NACA's Director of Safety and Technology, retired controller out of Seattle Center, retired about 3 years ago. And myself, along with ALPA's head of safety and EAA's CEO Jack Pelton, are the three judges for the Archie Leagues, which we're going to talk about today.
For the Archie League Awards, right?
Archie League Awards, that's
all right. And let me ask you guys to introduce yourselves as well.
My name is Evan Monroe. I'm air traffic controller at Miami Center, and formerly was at Fort Worth Center for about 5.5 years. And excited to be up here for EAA Air Venture this week and talking with you guys.
Evan, welcome.
Hey, my name is Carlton Wickstrom. I'm out of Phoenix Tracon and right with Evan. Excited to be here. It's a fantastic air show, so thanks for having us on.
Yeah, well, it's great that you're here. So, Jim, talk a little bit about the Archie League Awards.
So the Archie League started many years ago and named after Archie League, the first air traffic controller. And what we do is we get submissions from all the facilities, accidents and incidents, and we give at least one award per region every year. So it's a grueling task, let me tell you, because there's a lot of amazing things that happen out in our national airspace system. We have some amazing men and women, pilots and controllers that do some incredible things. And we hear this, and we get the video replay. We have the radar. We have notes written up. We have the communications. And we basically sit there. I think it probably took us about 8 hours to go through 60-something submissions and just – and it's hard to rank them. It's hard to rank them. That's what this Archie League is. And it's something I got to tell you. It's a formal event that we have the last day of our conference, Communicating for Safety, which is in October. And it's an emotional night. It's an emotional night, no doubt.
And, Jim, I have a question. I'm a flight instructor, but this is my normal job, and I'm always interested in training and how to improve training. When an air traffic controller is going through the program at Oklahoma City and becoming an air traffic controller, is it scenario-based? Do you start out by kind of learning the mechanics of it? I'm guessing there has to be scenario-based training where you're presented with a variety of situations.
That's exactly right. It's done in phases. You have to hit certain marks to even get in the academy. And then once you're in the academy, you have to go through classroom instruction, book, learning 7110, learning rules, regulations, and such. And then you go into a scenario-based training, where you sit in a lab with an instructor and you run scenarios, and they are graded cumulative. You have to reach a certain score before you can release from the academy, and they get progressively harder. You know, it starts off in they call a 40% problem, then a 50, and then a 60, and then the 100% problems are, you know, they're pretty intense. There's no doubt about
it. I bet.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're going to listen to today is air to ground from one of those award-winning Archie League honorees, and actually, Carlton, it's you. Sorry, I'm messing up on my sheets. So Carlton Wickstrom, it's you that we're going to be listening to. And so let me ask you to set this up for us. It's January 19th, 2016, and there's a winter weather system moving through the northern half of Arizona.
And that's we're working the airspace that's principally over Flagstaff and Prescott. And so in the valley, everybody comes down for the nice weather. And that night, the weather was up north. And so it was a modestly quiet evening. We were just kind of waiting for the weather to come on through. And I get a phone call from Albuquerque en route Air Traffic Center. And they say they have a IFR aircraft that's having some trouble maintaining heading an altitude.
Sure.
And, you know, okay, I'll go ahead and talk to her. And, well, there we go from there.
Scouts on Mike Echo, check your altitude immediately. Minimum vectoring altitude in your area is 9,000. Scouts on Mike Echo, roger, ma'am. And do you have the terrain in sight?
No, I said no terrain in sight.
Scouts on Mike Echo, okay, ma'am. Climb and maintain 9,000.
8,400.
So she closes there saying she's at 8,400, supposed to be climbing to 9,000.
Exactly. And we were pretty fortunate that evening, not only myself, but a few others have plenty of flight experience, and so we were able to do the assist. That was the other two gentlemen that were part of the award as well. And the terrain in that area, you know, we lost her right behind some of the hills. She did not have ADS-B out, sure, which works very well up there. And, yeah, we were very happy to, 45 minutes later, get her back on the ground.
Well, in that 45 minutes, we're going to listen to a few other bits of that conversation. You asked this question.
Sky 7 Mike Echo, does it appear your instruments are working, ma'am?
I mean, it is yourself, but I know I'm getting tossed around a lot, so it probably doesn't look like it on your end.
So she says it appears so. She's getting tossed around, although it probably doesn't look like it on your end.
No. It was a start turn, stop turn, and what we ended up finding out later is that the VSI was inoperative, showing about 500 to 600 feet a minute up.
Oh.
And that's what was causing it.
Yeah. Well, we'll hear that part of the conversation as well, but she's saying that it probably doesn't look like she's being tossed around. Is that because she didn't think you could see her changes in altitude and direction, or what?
It's at night, and yeah, we're over a pretty featureless terrain south of the Prescott Valley, and so it falls away to a lower area. And so without being near the town, you know, she's in the clouds and, you know, may not even realize that she is being tossed that much.
Hmm.
And, yeah.
Then this happened.
Skyhawk 7 Mike Echo, radar contact lost. Skyhawk 7 Mike Echo, Phoenix approach.
What were you thinking then?
Definitely thinking that, you know, the five of us standing around, you know, I'm about 2 inches from the scope, see if I could see her any better. And it's still heart stopping. You can hear it in my voice now.
Sure.
I mean,
sure. Was this a classic VMC into IMC event?
She had filed IFR, but was not overly proficient.
Okay.
And so this was an unforecasted weather event. So.
Yeah. So do you recall how long she was out of radar contact?
Felt like about 3 hours, and but it ended up being, I'd have to look at the replay, but probably no more than about a minute or two.
Okay. So once radar contact came back, were you getting all the data that you would expect to get at that point? I mean, did you kind of figure out where she was?
Correct. And we have a secondary map that's we call it our emergency vectoring map, and it actually has the actual geographical, like a topographical map. And she was right behind, last reported altitude was right behind what is a very firm hill.
Okay, let's listen to that.
Mike Echo, okay, ma'am. What altitude are you showing?
I'm showing 6,600, so I don't know the obstacles.
Skyhawk 7 Mike Echo, roger, ma'am. You need to climb and maintain 8,000 if able.
Okay, but it's going to take a while to get there, so if there's obstacles, can you get to me?
Skyhawk 7 Mike Echo, radar contact is lost, ma'am.
Understood.
I wonder how that made her feel. Well, silly question, but yeah, like I'm alone.
Right. And, you know, it was tough.
Yeah.
I'm talking to her, but I know she's right there with the hills and there's no lights out there.
Yeah. So let's listen to the next cut. Maybe a different individual talking on this one, but I know that someone else was engaged.
Correct.
Right?
Two of the other winners that evening, you'll probably hear Mr. Aaron Phones.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Okay, so Mike Echo, if you could, I need you to turn to the northeast, maybe about a 070 heading. If you could turn just a slight left turn to about a 070 heading, just to go to the northeast.
Slight left to 070, still climbing. Thank you.
Still climbing.
Correct.
So was she out of trouble at this point, or was she still having some?
Still quite a few issues. You know, we were starting to figure out the group of us standing there. You know, are we, you know, talking amongst ourselves? Do we have a DG issue? Are we, you know, wanting to get her, you know, with a compass? Or, you know, our main thing was we need you to climb. You know,
yeah,
the terrain is the big one. Yep.
Yeah. Let's listen to the next part.
Okay, 7 Mike Echo, if you could just level the wings off momentarily, level the wings, and then look at what your heading says on your compass.
It looks like about, 100.
So at this point, you had determined that some of her instruments were good and maybe some were not?
Correct. And the supervisor on duty that night just finished his commercial and was working as single eye. And then the other person that was awarded that night is a double eye, ME double eye. And so four of us are trying to figure out what's the next best question to not task saturate her to make sure we get the best response we could.
Interesting. So let's listen to the next one.
Number 347, Mike Echo. Once you have started VFR, I just want you to start a descent. I want you to make a slight power reduction and continue straight ahead and start descending.
Okay, so roger that. I have noticed that my vertical speed is completely off. I think that's what's flying off. Saying that the 10 is actually it's a climb, but it's a descent. So
she knows she's climbing, or she feels that she's climbing. Right, but the gauge is showing that she's descending.
Correct, and so she thinks she's level, trying to push the VSI back down, but would actually be in the descent at that point. So when she's level, it would show up. So we go back down.
And Carlton, what airport are we aiming for now?
We're going for Prescott.
Okay,
we're coordinating with the tower at this point and trying to do the best we can to see if they can see her out there.
Well, the tower says they can see you. Are you able to see the airport?
I see the airport. I'm flying over there on my left.
So, Mike Echo, are you in VMC conditions? Can you take over visually?
So, there we go.
So she, at that point, could see the airport and made her way down.
Correct. And the tower is very helpful. We were able to give them a call, get the lights up as bright as we could. Now, the unfortunate part that you don't hear with this is the wind shift. And so their runways are 2-1 and 3, and the wind's right out of the east at about 30 knots. And so now poor pilot can, see where she's going, and now we've got to fight a nasty crosswind.
Yeah.
But the outcome was a good one, and it's so encouraging. And to hear stories like this, to see examples of the great work that you guys do. So thank you again, Carlton Wickstrom, Jim Ullman, and Evan Monroe from NATCA. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Good job, guys.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to EAA Radio.